Good morning. Welcome to our service. And a special welcome to any visitors that we have worshipping with us this morning. Following the service, tea and coffee are served in the hall at the back of the church, where you'll also find a tradecraft stall, and I'd encourage you to come through and join us. Many of the intimations are contained within the order of service. There are a couple that I want to draw your attention to. First is a new one, and it's from me. I need 4 non-scriptural readings, / poems, for the service of Lessons and Carols on the 24th of December. They must honour the true spirit of Christmas, so that's a task for you. For anyone who didn't make it to the end of last week's service, the result was a convincing majority, 224-1, in favour of the appointment of Shuna Dix as the next minister of Cults Parish Church. The call, which is basically an invitation to the new minister and a promise of support, will be available for signing by anyone on the electoral register following this service. It's up at the back of the church just now, and I'll probably take it through to the hall, where I think it'll be easier to do it. It's available today, and it will be available between 9 and 1 in the Kirk Centre on Monday. After that, it has to go to Presbytery. Anyone not on the electoral register, including children, can sign the shorter statement, which is called the Paper of Concurrence. Other information, Shuna's induction, to which everyone is invited, will be in the church here at 7 p.m. on Thursday the 25th of January. And there will be a social event afterwards in the Kirk Centre. Her first service, at which she will be preached in, will be communion on the 28th of January. A couple of other things. First one is a message from Anne Middleton to say if you can help with the Christmas Tree Festival, can you please sign up on the rota which is through in the main hall. The next is a huge thank you to all who came along to attend or to help at the Singing Waiters coffee morning yesterday. The superb sum of £1,085 was raised, which will be divided between Crossreach and the Friends of Roxburgh House. Tickets for the Hogmanay Ceilidh are now available, and if you want them, please speak to Maureen Taylor following this service. It's with sadness that I have to intimate the death of Anne Meldrum. There will be a celebration of Anne's life here in the church on Friday, the 8th of December at 11:30. Due to this, there are 1 or 2 changes to arrangements for the Christmas Tree Festival. Decoration of trees will now take place at the following times: Thursday from 7 to 9 p.m. and Friday from 9:30 to 10:30 and thereafter 1 to 7. And also on Saturday from 10 to 12 noon. I'm pleased this morning to be able to welcome the Reverend Gordon Craig, who is going to be leading us in worship. Gordon, welcome to Cults Kirk.
Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
It's lovely to be back here again on what seems to be, well, hopefully will be my penultimate visit. My final visit is the 17th, and then after that, you're into the process of getting your own new minister, which will be really exciting. I'm really, really delighted about. It's a special Sunday, of course, this morning. Can any of the children tell me what's special about it this morning? Oh, who said that? Advent, that's right. Maybe, therefore, you'd like to help me with something. Would you like to come out? Come on up here. I know, these orchestra, they get everywhere, don't they? Watch you don't fall over. What's your name?
Lizzie.
How nice to see you. Now, there's something different up in the front here. Can you see something that's here that's not normally here? What's that? It's candles. That's called an Advent wreath. Now, you see how we've got 4 candles round the outside and 1 in the middle? The 4 candles on the outside, we light 1 on every Sunday running up to Christmas. when all these four candles are lit, it means there's no more Sundays before Christmas. Oh, it's exciting. And then we light the white one on Christmas Day itself. And each candle stands for something different, and I hope I remember this correctly. Today, the first candle, you're going to help me light it. First candle we light today stands for hope. The next one will stand for peace, and then it's love, no joy. Then following that, it's love. You just dropped your nuts.
Yeah. Oh,
right. You can't drop. I think it's clean enough. You'll be all right, Em, I think. Now, we'll light this candle, will we? You're going to help me. Right. Your mum, you shouldn't play with matches, but I'll help you, all right? Come on forward. We're going to light this one here. Yes, okay. Right, so if you put your... I don't know if you'll be able to reach. Well, I've just broken a match too. That's not good. See, if we were a non-Church of Scotland church, we'd have big, long tapers. It makes life easier. Oh, come... Dud matches. What do you make of that? Has anyone got a lighter? Come on, own up, all you nasty smokers out there. Who's got a lighter? Yeah, you're getting pointed at. I'll make it easier. This lady, would you go over to that lady there and get her lighter? You not got it? No. Oh, she has. There we are. That'll be safer too. See, preparation. I'd even come and lit this candle before the service to make sure it's light. Oh, we've got a taper as well. Look at that. All I need now is an order of service and I know what I'm doing. Okay. Right. Tell you what, you hold that. That's okay. And your mummy will help you. Right, now you just hold that still. And we'll light that. There we are. Now, can see if you can light that candle there. That's it. Well, I think it's going to go. There you go. Now, if you give me that. Oh, go again. Woo! Hey! Well done. Thank you. So that's our first Advent candle lit, and the candle that stands for hope. A small light glimmering in the darkness. Thank you. Hopefully. I'll keep the taper here just in case. Well, the other reason today, of course, is special. It's we're celebrating the sacrament of baptism. We've got young Poppy here this morning as well. And we'll be going to do, through this the baptismal service. You're looking at me, Poppy, with an awful kind of dodgy look on your face. We'll go through the baptismal service shortly. But our call to worship is this. We come from a world of darkness into Christ's world of light. We come from a world of weariness into God's strength and hope. We come from a slumbering world. Strengthened by the Spirit, we come to awaken our souls and watch for the coming of Christ. We start now by singing our first hymn, "Mine Eyes Have Seen the Glory of the Coming of the Lord," and it is hymn number 476.
Thank you.
now come to our sacrament of baptism. And I think what we'll do is we'll invite the parents and godparents to join me up here so everyone can see the new baby and our family. If you like to stand here. This is Poppy. The Gospel tells us that our Lord Jesus Christ was himself baptized for our sake in the River Jordan and that the Spirit came upon him. But more than that, the Gospel gives us the command of the risen Christ. Go then to all peoples everywhere and make them my disciples and baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And I will be with you always until the end of the age. Let's hear from Matthew's Gospel. One day, some people brought their children to Jesus, wanting him to bless them. But his disciples told them off and sent them away. When Jesus saw it, he was very annoyed and he said, "Let the children come to me and don't try to stop them. Don't you know that the kingdom of God is their property? Let me tell you, if you don't come to the kingdom of God like a child, you won't get in at all." Then he put his arms around them and he laid his hands on them and he blessed them. You can come up too. The sacrament of baptism is the appointed way of entrance into Christ's church. Scott and Jerry, it's the duty of those who present their children for baptism to confess the faith into which their child is to be baptized and to promise to bring their child up in that faith and in the way of the church. Scott and Jerry, you have brought your daughter Poppy for baptism. Do you confess with us your faith in Jesus as Saviour and Lord? Do you promise, relying on God's help, to bring Poppy up in the Christian faith? The Lord bless you and Poppy and enable you to faithfully keep these promises. Let us pray. Grant to us, Father, the living presence of the risen Christ within this sacrament. Bless the water we are about to use and fulfill your promise that Poppy may be made part of your new creation, united forever with Jesus Christ as a member of his church, his body. Amen. Would the congregation please stand? Poppy, I'll bring you here. Here we are. Hello. Can you see everyone? Poppy, it was for you that Jesus Christ came down into the world. It's for you that he struggled and he died. He suffered on the cross and he died and rose again for you. And you know nothing about it yet. And so the apostles' words are confirmed. We love God because God loved us first. Poppy, Jennifer, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit descend upon you and dwell in your heart forever. Amen. And now we're all going to sing the blessing at 796. The Lord bless you and keep you. 796. As we welcome this young child into the church, newest member, we've all got to recognise that each of us has responsibilities to Poppy and all the children that join us in church. And as a sign of these responsibilities, I'm going to ask you as members of this church to answer either we do or we will to the following vows. Do you all, representing the church here, receive Poppy in the name of Christ?
We do.
Will you surround her and her parents with love and look for ways of being Christ to them?
We will.
And do you all, the members of this church, promise to play your part in the Christian upbringing of this child and all the children in this community as far as you are able? I now declare that Poppy has been received into the church by baptism. May God help us all to keep our promises. Jesus himself said, "Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me." Please be seated. Now I'll bring Poppy around and you can all get a closer look. You've all been craning forward. This is the newest member of our church, young Poppy. Oh, look at that. Who's all this? All these strange faces. Is that you? Newest member. I'll go round this way. Strange people, aren't they? They're all smiling at you, though. You're now part of this family. Well, look, there's some more children down here too. There you are. Isn't that a nice baby? Thank you for lighting the candle. Yeah, she's lovely and she's still quiet for the moment. Here's some more boys and girls, look. Maybe one day you'll be part of a Sunday school. Oh, best come quickly down here before I give you back to Mum. You've all seen her. Here you are. He's young Poppy. Here we are. Oh, I used to maybe. And back to Mum. Now, I need another two volunteers from the Sunday school, maybe. We've got two volunteers to help me with the next part of the service. There we are.
Thank you.
Well, we've got two. Come on up then. Now, as a sign of what we've just done, we're going to present to Poppy's mum a children's Bible, because they've just promised to bring Poppy up, teaching her about Jesus, so that'll help. And this is the certificate saying that we've just baptised Poppy, and if you give that to Poppy's dad. So that's these two people at the end there. Thank you very much. And I think we could give them a clap. And now we sing our next hymn, which is one of my favourite, Our Children, Lord, in Faith and Prayer. It's number 632.
Thank you.
Now let us join our hearts together in prayer. Let us pray. Father, on this first Sunday in Advent, we come together in this place of worship to praise you for the gift of new life which we have celebrated today, and for the hope which faith brings, a light to shine in the darkness during the times when our lives are hard. We come too to listen to your word from the past, present for us here today. Keep us listening to your voice and help us to believe the message of your love brought to earth in the form of a baby born in a stable. May our prayers and our singing, our thoughts and our faith be acceptable and open to all your blessings for us today. For though we ask you to come into our lives, we know that when you do come, you will find much that contradicts our prayers. For we acknowledge that there are times when we are unjust in our dealings with each other. Part of us enjoys making judgments about others. And there are times when our behaviour is at odds with how we know we should be behaving. You know this only too well, but you forgive our human nature. And there are times too when our lives reflect the injustice of the world at large. For we can be quarrelsome, depriving one another of peace, and our personal conflicts match the confrontational stance of nations. So we ask for your forgiveness. Help us to reflect your mercy and be a calming and supportive influence. And help us to reflect your love in all our dealings with others. We pray these things through Jesus Christ our Lord, who himself taught us how to pray using the words, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever. Amen.
Our Old Testament reading is from Jeremiah chapter 33, and that can be found on page 770. Jeremiah chapter 33, reading from verse 14. The Lord said, "The time is coming when I will fulfill the promise that I made to the people of Israel and Judah. At that time I will choose as king a righteous descendant of David. That king will do what is right and just throughout the land. The people of Judah and of Jerusalem will be rescued and will live in safety. The city will be called the Lord our salvation. I, the Lord, promise that there will always be a descendant of David to be king of Israel, and that there will always be priests from the tribe of Levi to serve me and to offer burnt offerings, grain offerings, and sacrifices."
Thank you. We continue our service by singing the Advent hymn, hymn number 273, O Come, O Come, Emmanuel.
Thank you.
Our gospel reading is from Luke chapter 22 and reading from verse 25. This can be found on page 109 of the Good News Bible. The coming of the Son of Man. There will be strange things happening to the sun, the moon and the stars. On earth, whole countries will be in despair, afraid of the roar of the sea and the raging tides. People will faint from fear as they wait for what is coming over the whole earth, for the powers in space will be driven from their courses. Then the Son of Man will appear, coming in a cloud with great power and glory. When these things begin to happen, stand up and raise your heads, because your salvation is near. Then Jesus told them this parable. Think of the fig tree and all the other trees. When you see their leaves beginning to appear, you know that summer is near. In the same way, when you see these things happening, you will know that the kingdom of God is about to come. Remember that all these things will take place before the people now living have all died. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Be on your guard. Don't let yourselves become occupied with too much feasting and drinking and with the worries of this life, or that day may suddenly catch you like a trap. For it will come upon all people everywhere on earth. Thanks be to God for these readings.
Our next hymn is hymn number 189, Be Still for the Presence of the Lord, which picks up a number of Advent themes. Hymn number 189. It's not often I get dressed up like this to conduct a service. It takes something special. Sacrament of baptism, sacrament of Holy Communion is one reason I'd put on all these glad rags. Interesting though, last year on this Sunday, I also had on these outfit, these robes. I was invited to preach at a patronal service in the army barracks in Aldershot. And I was preaching there as the convener of the Church of Scotland's committee and chaplain to Her Majesty's Forces. And I have to confess that preaching about St Andrew in the south of England in front of all the great and the good of that part of the world on Advent Sunday was a challenge I'd probably not want to face again. However, as I began to think about this morning's service, I started to face some difficulties too. You might think that preaching at a service on Advent Sunday that has just witnessed the baptism of a young baby would be a doddle. You know, it's dead easy. Baby, birth of Jesus, job done. No. Far from it, because Advent Sunday is meant to be a bit of a dismal Sunday for us in church. It's the time of year when we're meant to prepare for the coming of Christ at Christmas, and we're meant to start that by confessing our sins, by cleaning our souls, subjecting ourselves to self-examination. Doesn't quite go with the joy of a Christian baptism, does it? It's the opposite of what you might expect, because in our culture, the expectation is that we should be building up to Christmas in a busy way, a time of preparation. There's going to be a mad rush of shopping, preparing food, putting up decorations, getting ready for family visits, enjoying the office party, the works night out. For many of us, there'll just be no time to stop to prepare, to confess our sins. Because this is a time of mostly enjoyable busyness. So the scripture readings on Advent Sunday hit a bit of a jarring note, because if you listen, Jesus speaks of time when strange things will happen in the sky, when countries will despair, people will faint with fear. Then the Son of Man will come and we will face judgment. Not quite the angel in the top of the Christmas tree sort of stuff. This kind of biblical material is what we call apocalyptic. It's a type of literature which deals with the end of the world sort of predictions. It's full of death and destruction, but actually it's also never without hope either. And hope is also about what this Sunday in Advent's about. Apocalyptic was a style of writing and a way of thinking which was extremely popular at the time of Jesus. And so it's found its way into the Gospels. This is the kind of thing you might associate with the book of Revelation, but it's also, it seems that Jesus could be an apocalyptic preacher at times too. And we're rightly uncomfortable with such language. It's not just that apocalyptic thought seems alien and difficult to understand, but when you read them, they can also sound a bit unchristian at times too. A few verses earlier than the passage we read in Luke's Gospel says this of the coming fall of Jerusalem: "How terrible it will be in those days for women who are pregnant and for mothers with little babies." What kind of God is this who will allow this to happen? What happened to Christ coming and blessing the little children? Are passages like this really Christian? Is this the kind of thing we want to hear on a Sunday when a little one is baptized and brought into the fellowship of the Kirk? But another problem is that this kind of biblical literature is most open to abuse by cranks and strange religious cults. There are those who fervently believe that passages like this provides a biblical timetable for the end of the world. And worryingly, they sometimes want to hurry things along. Those who look for historical timelines forget that Christ himself once said that only God, the Father, knew the hour when such things might happen. So the apocalyptic parts of the Bible are perhaps the most misunderstood and dangerous parts of the Bible. And we've had to listen to them this morning. So should we try to ignore them? Or can there be some strange spiritual nourishment to be had from these strange writings and sayings? And you know, I kind of think in the run-up to Christmas, it's perhaps good that we should be pulled up short by some scary Bible readings. Because sadly, Christmas is not comfort and joy for everyone. Yeah, we like to think about Christmas as a great time, getting together with our families, our friends, sharing a big meal round the table. But then that's why Christmas itself is so hard for others. Because memories of family and friends who are not here to celebrate with us, for those whom we are separated, can be difficult. But thankfully, in the Bible, wherever there is judgment, there's also hope. And the prophet Jeremiah deserved his reputation for doom, as you're probably all aware. He predicted that the way the people were going, their nation would be destroyed. And in fact, it happened. Jerusalem was taken by the Babylonians and its inhabitants carried off into exile. Yet even at this terrible time, when these things were happening, the prophet of doom, Jeremiah, had words of hope for the people that their nation would be restored. God will choose as a king, as righteous, a righteous descendant of David. That king will do what is right and just throughout the land. The people of Judah and Jerusalem will be rescued and will live in safety. Words we heard earlier this morning. During these desperate times, people needed hope. And Jeremiah assured them that there was hope, even in the worst of circumstances. Jesus said too that Jerusalem of his day would be faced with destruction. And it happened 40 years later. Yet despite this chilling prediction, he also offered hope. Terrible things might happen, but one day the Son of Man will appear. When these things begin to happen, stand up, raise your hides, because your salvation is near. Meanwhile, I think the task for Christ's followers is not to speculate about what is happening or to panic, but be part of the message that speaks of hope. And that's why when war does break out, Christians are often to be found among those aiding the wounded, burying the dead, feeding refugees. And when natural disaster strikes, Christian agencies are often the ones to the fore bringing practical aid. Or when bereavement or disappointment happens, Christians can also often care and love, but also hope to one another and our neighbours. It's a terrible thing not to have hope and be caught up in what Jesus said in his reading this morning, the worries of life. And who can deny that worry is a major preoccupation today in our society? Many suffer from anxiety, from neurosis, from worry, and I suppose much of this seems to be caused by our driven lifestyles. Modern life is very stressful. There never seems to be enough hours in the day or days in the week, and there has never been such heavy demands placed on the provision of mental health. Indeed, mental health issues for our youngsters have rocketed in recent years as pressures are heaped on them through social media, which actually tragically means the pressures are being heaped on them from their own peer group or from TV advertising, magazines and shops, all these things which tell that they're being judged on how they look. Clothing, hairstyle, body shape. No wonder anxiety and even suicide are problems for our young. But it's not only the young. Grown-ups are affected too. In Jesus' words, we've become occupied with the worries of life. Because I think there are so many today who truly have no real hope. The secular way of looking at the world tells us that there is no purpose in life. So we may as well just live for ourselves. So maybe the Christian mission for us all this Advent is to take hope out of this building to the world. In a couple of weeks' time, I'll be conducting a carol service within Shell's headquarters in Alton's, something I've done every year, and it's something that's been done for many years before I became chaplain to the industry. Now, I like to think of myself as a realist, So when I stand in front of the gathered throng, I know very well that there'll be those there that are there to think about the meaning of Christmas and sing carols about the event. But I also know fine well that there'll be those who are there because it provides them with an opportunity to get away from their desk for a wee while, to munch a Christmas pie or two, and probably remind them of the past when, as children, they would sing these carols on the run-up to Christmas. And maybe remember a time in their life when this season was one of joy and excitement and not worry. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. It's lovely to remember such times. But I also have a hope. And my hope is that some of them might be given some hope themselves as they're reminded that the Christmas lights and the shopping and the parties are not all that there is to Christmas. The story actually begins with a baby in a manger, a wise man following a star, seeking a king, but finding a baby in a dirty manger. A strange story, alien to many, many people, but there's something strangely hopeful about it. Every baby brings hope. Those of you who have parents yourselves know that. When a child comes into your family, it brings hope and joy. And this baby born in the manger in Bethlehem has been born many, many times since that night, and indeed comes again to bring peace and justice and love and joy for the world. How did the carol go? It came upon the midnight clear, that glorious song of old, from angels bending near the earth to touch their harps of gold. Peace on the earth, goodwill to you, from heaven's all-gracious King. Yeah, Advent points us to the future. It reminds us that hope is at the heart of the gospel message. And so I urge you to go into this mad, mad season of Advent with hope in your heart. That is what the message of Advent is about. And not only go from here with hope in your heart, maybe find enough hope to share some with others who have less than you, and share that wondrous story of God coming to earth to live with his people. Amen. And now we are coming to worship God in the giving of our offering.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Lord God, we give you thanks for this day, for the people who make our lives easier, who give of their time to care for others and to share hope. We thank you for those whose compassion, whose kindness, wise sincerity, or gentle rebuke have helped us to find or rediscover faith for ourselves. And we also pray for all who devote their lives to other people's needs, who share your common concern for human beings in distress. And we give thanks for them and pray that they may be encouraged, keeping their eyes fixed on the hope and love which first prompted them to serve. So, Father, out of our gratitude, we dedicate this money we have just given for your purposes in this world, to share hope, to share peace, to share love. And we ask that you keep coming to the world and people who follow you, that your power and your love may be effective in the places haunted by despair. We ask that you let your justice be done when people are hungry or homeless, where they are afraid, oppressed, or ill, or suffering the pains of bereavement. Let your justice be done and your peace brought to hearts and minds that have no peace. Finally, come, Father, and be with us in our anxieties, in our sorrows, in our delight, and in our gladness. Come and bring us with Christ into the fullness of the peace he brings, that we may praise you and glorify your name. We pray these things through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Our concluding hymn this morning is hymn number 132, Immortal, Invisible. And I'd just like to thank the orchestra for being with us this morning. First time I've heard you play. Thank you very much and for everything you've brought to the service. Hymn number 132 now, Immortal, Invisible. Claim the hope of God, for we are the heralds of God, and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship in the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and forevermore.